We're going to continue in our series called America's Pastime. And through this, you know, we've asked the question, is God your passion or is he your pastime? You know, a passion is something that you love. It's something that drives you. It's something that causes a working on the inside of you to become better. A pastime is something that you love as well, but it's something more of what you do in your free time. And you know, when it gets tough, you most likely are going to quit and not, you know, it's not something that's going to push you. And, you know, lots of times in our relationship with God that we have that passion for him to where it's a drive in our lives. And we love to get into God's word and we love to try to better ourselves according to the Bible. And then there's times to where it's just kind of like you almost get indifferent to what God's trying to do in your life. And I believe that's something that naturally happens. We're not trying to condemn you if you're not passionate right now about your relationship with God, because I believe we all go through the process of being on the mountaintop spiritually, and then, you know, something happens and you come down and you're in the valley. The question is, when you're in the valley, are you pushing to get back on top of the mountain again? And that kind of determines, I think, how strong you're going to be spiritually, because you're going to go into the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You know, the valley's there in our life. The question is, what are you going to do in the valley? You know, are you going to allow the valley to overtake you and cause you to quit? Or are you going to trust in God and push through that and get back on the mountaintop? And so last week we talked about the passion of Christ. And I believe that, through the scripture, that we can see what Christ was passionate about. What was it that drove Christ to go to the cross? Because I believe that, there was a drive on the inside of him, a passion on the inside of him that caused him to give up his life for you and me. And that he didn't have to do that, but it was his choice to do that. And so what was that passion on the inside of him? And we talked about that last week. We talked about how, number one, that his drive was to bring glory to the Father. In everything that he did, his drive was to bring glory to the Father. He was always pointing to the Father. He was always saying, you know, God, I want you to be glorified in this. Another thing that really drove Christ in his life was that he wanted to reveal the Father to people. It wasn't enough to glorify, but he wanted to show them who the Father really was. Because he had that personal relationship. He's been in his presence and he knew God. And so his thing was he wanted to show who God really was. You know, we see, you know, many times in the scripture, Jesus said, you know, you've heard it said, you know, that you love your friends and hate your enemies. But I tell you to love your enemies, pray for those. And there's many times when he was teaching that he spoke like that. And I believe he was revealing who God really was in those moments. And another passion that drove him was just unity in his followers. And so, you know, we looked at all that last week. And if you want to hear more about that, all that's all on the website and the podcast. And so we're going to kind of change gears for the next 3 weeks. And I want to talk to you about how to ignite the passion in your life again. Because we all do go through the valley. We all have those times to where we just feel dry spiritually and we just feel like we're going through the motions on it. How do we light that fire again? What is it that causes us to get passionate again about our relationship with God? And all the things that I look through this week, and you know, I have different routines that I go through and different things that I do that are purposely to stir that passion up in my life again. And I could have talked weeks and weeks about the different things that I can do, but it all came down to about three different areas. And so the next 3 weeks, I want to talk to you about these three different areas, and I'm going to ask three different questions during the next 3 weeks. This week, one of the ways that we can ignite the passion again, let me ask you this question is, what are you feeding yourself? What is it that you're putting into your life? See, back in 1957, I wasn't alive yet, but, you know, 1957, I'm not going to ask for who was, but anyway, 1957, it was the dawn of the computer age, and one of the phrases that came out of that era was garbage in, garbage out. You know, when you're working with computers, if you just put gibberish in there, that's all that it's going to give you back. Because that's what it's meant to do, is to just give you what you put in. And so it's the same thing in our spiritual lives. I believe that if we just put garbage into our lives all the time, then our life is going to produce garbage. It's not going to be effective in any way, but if we're purposeful in what we place in our lives, then I believe that we give God something to work with in our lives and that He can produce something in us. See, in Galatians chapter 6, this is how the Bible says this particular phrase. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked, for a man reaps what he sows." What are you sowing into your life? Are you sowing God's word into your life? I believe it's very important that we're consistently putting His word in our life. And there's many different ways of doing that. And we're going to talk about it, but we need to be putting those things in our life if we want God to be able to have something to work with in our lives. See, last week we talked about in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And this is what we're talking about in here is being protective of what we put in our lives. Because whatever we're putting in, that's what's going to come out. You know, it's a natural principle, it's a spiritual principle, that if you want godliness to come out of your life, then you need to be putting God in your life. And so what are you putting in? What are you doing? What are you sowing? Because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Several different areas that we can look at is, you know, what are you watching? What are you watching on TV? What movies are you watching? What music are you listening to? What are you talking about when you're amongst your friends? What conversations are you having? These are the kind of things that you're putting in. What kind of friends do you have on Facebook and the stuff that they're posting and the stuff that you're reading? You know, these are the things that you're putting into your life every single day. You know, TV, music, movies, and, you know, there's all kinds of voices in our life that are trying to influence you, that are trying to cause you to go to action for whatever their cause is. What are you allowing? See, there's certain things that I don't like to watch, that I try to avoid watching. Whether it's a TV or a movie or whatever, I try to avoid things that's going to have girls running around in bikinis all the time. Or they're running around in their underwear. I try to avoid those because I don't want to place those thoughts in my mind. I try to avoid movies and shows that have a lot of sex scenes. Because, you know, Jason said the other day, like 90% of all sex scenes on TV is out of wedlock. It's not two married people, but it's two people that are not married. I try to avoid watching things where there's spouses cheating on each other and trying to hide that in those. I don't want to place those thoughts in my mind. I try not to watch things with lots of murder and violence and all those kind of things. Because that's not what I want to produce in my life. I don't want to be a violent person. I don't want to murder anybody. And so I don't want to put those things in my life. One that I've recently added is I don't want to watch anything where children are being hurt or kidnapped or killed. See, all of these things are placing seeds in your heart and in your mind. What do you want your life to produce? Do you want your life to produce lust for the opposite sex, to be thinking about cheating on your spouse and to kill somebody and your kids getting murdered? I mean, nobody wants that, right? I mean, that's not like top of the list stuff, but how much do we feed on that stuff? You know, over the last, gosh, who knows how long on Facebook, all the political stuff that's going on. You know, how much hate have we seen spewed out over Facebook over a candidate? You know, Donald Trump is the president-elect now, and one side's happy, one side's mad, and the rest are confused. We don't know if it's good or bad or not. And we look on Facebook, and there's all of these things that are being said, and there's lots of hate going on, and people are taken to the streets and rioting. And I started unfollowing people on Facebook because I don't want to see that stuff. See, I actually voted early so I could like turn all that stuff off that I didn't have to think about anymore. You know, I voted, I've made my voice known, and now I'm just going to ignore it all, you know? And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, go on there and just see news feed after news feed of hate towards either side, you know? And I'm just like, that's not what I want in my life. You know, I don't want that turmoil on the inside of me because, you know, I can't do anything about the president. I can pray for the president. I believe that we should all be praying for our elected officials because that is your voice now. You might have went to the polls and voted, but now your voice can be heard by praying for them. Outside of that, nothing else is going to change. But if we pray and we lift these people up to God and say, God, your will be done in their hearts, then that is our voice being heard now. So what are we putting in? Let's talk about music for a second. I like a variety of music. Of course, I love listening to Christian music, worship music. I try to make that my main music that I listen to, worship and contemporary, but also like the oldies. Anybody like oldies? You know, growing up, we'd go on a trip or a vacation, and we would listen to the oldies, you know, as we went. You know, 104.9 out of Little Rock was the oldie station, and we would listen to that. I like listening to classical music. Any classical music lovers out there? We've got a few. It's very calming. It's very, kind of helps me to focus a little bit sometimes. I love Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, a lot of those older singers. I you know, there's just something about those old songs that are just, you know, there's a pureness to them almost compared to today's music. I like the funk. Anybody like the funk? All right. I like listening to the blues, you know. I just, there's something about the rhythm of those that, you know, that get me, you know, get me in a good place. I like listening. I grew up in the 90s, and I like listening to 90s music. I have to be careful there, you know, when we get into some of that stuff. But I like a variety of kinds of music. You know, this is not one of those, you know, sell your TV, turn off your cable, only listen to K-Love, and that's all that you need to do. And you know, it's not one of those sermons. What I'm telling you is to guard your heart with what you're putting in. See, one thing I don't like to listen to is rap. The biggest reason is I just don't like the style of it. But a lot of the message that comes through secular rap is just not what I want to feed on. It's not what I want in my life. You know, I even struggle listening to Christian rap just because it's just not something that I enjoy. Mostly I'm getting old and I can't understand it, but, you know, whatever. I used to be able to understand music. Now it's just gibberish to me. But, you know, I don't want anything that produces lust and drinking and sex and all of that stuff. I don't want to put that into my life. I don't want those seeds planted in there. So in all that we listen to and all that we do, let me ask you these questions. Are you sowing fear into your life or are you sowing peace? Are you sowing worry and doubt in your life or are you sowing faith in God into your heart? Are you sowing confusion? A lot of Facebook just gets you confused and gets you stirred up about stuff. And one thing that I don't like about Facebook is people post their stuff out there. Like someone gets mad at somebody or at a restaurant or whatever their particular thing, they're mad about that. And they spew all of this hate out there and it gets you riled up too. You know, and you begin to borrow their offense to that. And it's like, I don't need that in my life. You know, I've got too much stuff in my life that I'm dealing with that I don't need to deal with someone else's offense and someone else's hurt towards somebody else that doesn't have anything to do with me. And so, you know, are you sowing confusion into your life or are you sowing confidence in God? Are you sowing lust or pure thoughts? Are you sowing hate or love and compassion? Are you sowing contention into your heart or unity? See, all of the things that we put in our life, they have a message. It's a seed. All seed has potential in it. And so what is the seed that you're putting in your heart? What is the harvest of that seed? And that should help us determine if it's something good that we want in our heart or not. Listen to this in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. See, I believe our own voice, our own words reveal to us what's in our heart. There's people that talk about TV shows like all the time. I mean, it's just like life's revolved around this one show and they just can't wait till whatever night that their show comes on and so that they can watch it. And then they're like, don't post anything because I don't want to know. I don't get to watch it yet. And it's like their life is wrapped around, you know, this one show. I used to love The Office. And, you know, I was kind of that way with it. You know, it's like The Walking Dead now. Like, that's the big thing, you know, and people are just obsessed and that's all they talk about. And I'm like, whatever's in your heart to overflowing, that's what you're going to talk about. What are you sowing into your heart? Is it wrong to watch The Walking Dead? No. But is it consuming you? We got to be careful to what we let consume us, because out of the overflow of our heart, our mouth speaks. I love in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, we need to be putting God's thoughts in our heart more than we put anything else in our heart. Because whatever it is that you put in most, that's what's going to come out most. And if you want to grow in your relationship with God, if you want to get closer to Him and you want to live a more holy life, a more godly life, then are you planting the seed to make that happen? Or are you just hoping it happens? See, we've got to learn to be purposeful in what we're allowing in. It's called guarding your heart. You know, what is it that you're allowing in? Because if you allow in a mixture of seed into your life, you're going to get a mixed harvest. But if you want to produce the goodness of God and you want to love like God loves and have that compassion in your heart for people, then that's what you need to be sowing into your heart. See, we should be sowing God's word into our heart. We need to be getting into God's word on a consistent basis. I understand there's a lot of people that don't like to read. It's hard to understand. Man, you can get Bible on tape. Well, not tape anymore. You can download the Bible. You can get the Bible app on your phone and it will read to you. As you're driving to work, you can open up your phone and it can read the Bible to you as you go. One of the things I like to do is I like to download sermons. And, you know, we hear a sermon here on Sunday morning and there are certain people that I download their sermons every week. And I try to feed on those on a consistent basis. I like to listen to Stephen Sexton at the house. I like to download theirs. Chris Hodges and Church of the Highlands. And there are certain people that I like to listen to that feed me spiritually. You know, there's all kinds of podcasts that you can listen to. Not just sermons, but it's, you know, talking about godly things and how to live a godly life. I listen to sermons on how to be a better dad, how to be a better husband. And I want to feed on those things because that's what I want to become. See, we got to know what we want to become and we got to begin to feed ourselves those things to get us to those places. Now, on podcasts, that's not all I listen to. I listen to sports podcasts as well. I listen to one for Lower Road Radio, and it's a sports podcast. It's a couple buddies of mine from school that they do a sports podcast, and I listen to them every week. And that's a plug for that. If you like sports, Google Lower Road Radio. They talk some about current stuff, but they like to talk about sports in general, and I really like it. Anyway, are you worshiping God? Are you listening to worship music? Read books. There's all kinds of things that we can do to sow God's word into our lives. I want to read you a story real quick. This is one that Billy Graham used to tell. It's actually in one of his books, and it's the story of two dogs. And a lot of y'all have probably heard this, but I want to read this to you because I believe it illustrates what we're talking about today. He says, an Eskimo fisherman came to town every Saturday afternoon. He always brought his two dogs with him. One was white and one was black. And he had taught them to fight on command. And every Saturday afternoon in the town square, the people would gather and the two dogs would fight and the fishermen would take bets. One Saturday, the black dog would win. Another Saturday, the white dog would win. But the fisherman always won. His friends began to ask him how he did it. He said, "I starve one and I feed the other. The one I feed always wins because he is stronger." And I believe that, you know, in this story, it illustrates something great, because in our spiritual life, we have two dogs on the inside of us. We have two things on the inside of us that are fighting. And it's called the flesh and the spirit. We can see this in Galatians chapter 5. Paul is talking about this struggle that we have. He says, For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Do not use your freedom to satisfy the sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring each other, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Now listen to this. Verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us the desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you won't be free to carry out your own good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. And he begins to illustrate this. There's two powers fighting on the inside of us. And we all know this fight. Because sometimes you feel crazy because this fight's going on the inside of you. There's one part of you as a Christian, you want to do right. You want to live by God's word. You want to live the holy life. And you want to do right. But there's this other side of you that wants to do wrong. You know, you got those addictions, those things that draw you. And those things that feel good to our flesh that we want to do. And there's this fight on the inside of us. And you're like, one day the Spirit wins. And the next day the flesh wins. And you just feel like, what is going on here? You know, Paul had this in Scripture. You know, he talked about, it's like, you know, I want to do what's right, but what's inside of me causes me to do wrong. And you know, it's like, I feel crazy, but, you know, I'm fighting against myself and I'm not winning, you know, and we all have this struggle on the inside of us. And it's these two dogs that are fighting. Whichever one wins is the one that you feed the most. If you feed the flesh the most, your flesh is going to win. But if you feed the Spirit more than you feed the flesh, then your spirit's going to win. What are you feeding yourself? Is your input more revolving around God and His purpose for you and His love and His grace? Or are you putting more into you about what's going on in this world and what's on TV and the music and what are you feeding on the most? Because whichever one you feed the most, that's the one that's going to win. See, the difference between the spirit and the flesh is that the flesh likes to be amused. It likes to be entertained. The flesh loves pleasure. The flesh is selfish. It's just in it for what the flesh can get. See, the Bible tells us that sin is pleasurable for a season, for a time. That, yeah, you can sin and you can enjoy it, but there's always a consequence that comes. Sometimes it's overwhelming guilt and shame that comes. And sometimes it's a worse consequence than that. Something that may affect you the rest of your life. But when you sow to the flesh, to the sinful nature, then yeah, you might enjoy it for a moment, but know that consequence is coming. But see, the Spirit, when you sow to the Spirit wants to produce, it wants to grow. The Spirit likes to benefit others. See, there's this principle called the pain-pleasure principle. And basically what it says is that in everything that we do, there's pain and there's pleasure. See, when we sow to the flesh, we get the pleasure part first and the pain part second. Lots of times when we sow to the Spirit, there's a sacrifice that we have to make. You know, sometimes it's a sacrifice to sit down and read your Bible. Because we do have an enemy that's fighting against us, and he doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to feed the Spirit, and so he's going to fight against that. And lots of times there's a sacrifice of time, a sacrifice of maybe getting up a little bit earlier or staying up a little bit late so you can sow to the Spirit. But when you sow to the Spirit, the sacrifice is at the beginning, but the pleasure comes at the end. The reward comes at the end of when you receive the fruit of the Spirit in your life and you're living out a life that glorifies God. And that pleasure is a whole lot better than any pleasure you can receive through sowing to the flesh. And if you've ever had that experience of that reward for sowing to the Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. That's a whole lot better. It lasts a whole lot longer. In fact, it lasts for eternity when you sow to the Spirit. When you sow to the flesh, you got that pleasure for a moment, and then the consequence comes. So how do we know which one's stronger in our lives? If we continue on in Galatians chapter 5, Paul tells us, the results of sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit is, in verse 19, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. See, we can tell what we sow to the most by what our life is producing. And lots of times we do have a mixed harvest of both. But I urge you to sow to the Spirit in your life. Guard your heart. Be careful of what you're allowing into your life. See, I didn't realize the input in my life for a long time until I had kids. It's amazing how kids change your life. They change your life on basically every level. And I didn't realize you know, when I had kids, all of a sudden, you know, we started watching on something TV. It's like, we can't watch that. You know, what if the kids saw that? Do I want my kids watching that? Goodness, no. And then I asked the question, then why am I watching it? You know, if I'm trying to input good things into my life, why would I put something into my life that I wouldn't want in my kids' life? And we just have to be careful. I love verse 24. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. See, this is something that we should do every day. Because every day that we have these two dogs fighting on the inside of us, and as we begin to feed the Spirit and to make it stronger and to starve the flesh, we're nailing those things to the cross and crucifying them. See, every day we should get up and say, God, I want to glorify you today. God, I want to reveal you today. I want to live in unity with people today. So today I nail my flesh to the cross. I crucify it today so that I can live for you. And if you start there and then you begin to sow the right things in, I believe you'll begin to see that harvest of good come in your life. I'm not saying perfect. We'll never have a perfect life because we still live in a fallen world. But as you begin to sow to the Spirit and you begin to see that godly fruit growing in your life and seeing how it affects the people around us, it just gives you that drive and that fuels that passion on the inside of you to keep going and to keep doing more. Because that's what we're talking about here today, is how do I ignite the passion in my life again You do it by sowing the right things into your heart, that you're guarding your heart against those things that'll bring those negative things to you. And you sow God's word into your life, that you sow into your spiritual life by praying to God and connecting with Him and worshiping Him. And as you begin to engulf yourself into what God has for you, then you'll notice the flesh getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and your passion to grow more and more and more. And you can get back into that place to where you're striving to live for Him. So in wrapping all of this up, you know, we ask the question, you know, what do you want your life to produce? What is it that you want in life? Do you want to have a strong spiritual life? Do you want to be living for God? Or do you want to produce sin in your life? Do you want to produce, lustful thoughts? And do you want to produce anger and hate in your life? You know, that's never our goal, is we want to produce hate, anger, and lust and all these negative things in our life. But we got to decide, what do we want our life to look like? What is it that I want out of my life? Once we decide that, we need to control and maintain what we're putting in. We need to be purposeful in what we put into our lives, and that we make time to sow to the Spirit. We take time to get into God's Word, to listen to His Word, to listen to sermons, to read books, to worship Him. Yeah, we all want to have a strong spiritual life, but I don't have time to read my Bible. But then I have 3 hours to binge on Netflix, my favorite show. I mean, we got to be purposeful in what we put into our lives so that we have the harvest that we want. And ultimately, and above all else, we need to ask God for His help in this. Because in myself, I cannot produce life. In myself, I cannot produce godliness. It only comes through Christ and the cross and me depending on God to produce anything good in my life. And so we need to ask God for help. God, I need your help. God, I need your help today. God, I want to produce life. God, I want to produce godliness. I want love and peace and joy in my life. God, I need your help. And then you begin to sow that into your life. And you'll be amazed at how God will begin to work in you. How God will begin to change your attitudes. How God will begin to change the thoughts that come. See, all kinds of thoughts will come into your mind. But it's up to you what you think about. You know, just because a thought comes in your mind doesn't mean you have to think about it. You know that? That we need to reject those thoughts that go against what God has said and what God wants in our lives. But we got to introduce God thoughts into us to be able to produce God things. So today, as we're seeking to ignite our passion again, let us step back and look at our lives and see, what are we putting in? What are we investing in our lives? And those things that we do the most, is that what we want to come out of our lives? If not, we need to change those things. Can we pray today? Father, prayer team, go ahead and come forward. Father, thank you today, God, that you've given us life, God, that you've given us freedom through the cross, God, that you've shed your love and your grace on us. God, I pray that you stir a passion on the inside of us. God, stir a passion on the inside of us to look at our lives and what is our input. What is it that we're investing in our lives? What are we sowing into our lives, God? And help us to realize what doesn't bring glory to you. What is it that's holding us back? What is it that's causing us to sin? God, and help us to sacrifice those things, to nail those things to the cross. God, I thank you as we worship today, God, that you can be glorified. God, and that people that need that extra boost today, God, to take a stand against the negative things in their life, that they can come and pray, God, and lift those things up to you, God, and lay those things at the cross and receive the freedom they need. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, come ahead. If not, let's stand and let's worship today.